Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Shalom. As I was sitting here in the praise service and just thinking of what we all face in this day, a secular poem came to my mind, because I think the Spirit was saying, no matter what's happening, I can keep you. And so the poem goes this way. The vine still clings to the smoldering wall, and with every gust, the dry leaves fall. But the day is dark and fair. Be still, sad heart, and cease repining. For behind the cloud, the sun is still shining. Into each life, some rain must fall, and someday must be dark and dreary. And so I thought about, was thinking about the time that we live in, and the Holy Spirit was saying, you are the vine. And the vine is still clinging to the smoldering wall. And this wind of evil is blowing. And the dry leaves are falling, but the vine still clings. And even though we're going through this time in America of hate and disorder, but the church is still clinging to this smoldering wall. And though it might blow some of this dust off of us, but we're still clinging. And today, someone asked me last week, they said, you're going to be preaching. I said, yes. They said, are you going to be controversial today, or are you going to preach a straight message? I said, I'm going to be controversial. Because we are living in a time where the enemy has told the true church to shut their mouth. Yeah, he told us to shut our mouth. And when we see ungodliness, unrighteousness, and injustice, we're to shut our mouths and don't say anything. But all of the evil workers are proliferating their message of hate and racism. We're supposed to just shut our mouth.
Right.
The church is needed in a time like this. If it's going to be the church. And so as I talk to you today, I might say some things that might anger you in the natural. but if you listen. You know, Yeshua, speaking through the prophet Yohanan in the book of Revelation or the Apocalypse, he said some real controversial things to the church. He talked directly. He said, but I got something against you. So we have to talk straight. The Bible said the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And if the church won't speak truth, who will? If the church can't speak on righteousness and justice, who will? So I want you to join me today and if you don't like some things I say, you know, just set it aside. And maybe as I get on in the message, you might want to pick it back up and put it on the tape. Because you got to hear everything. And it just so happened our pastor's going to be out of town 2 weeks, so you got 2 weeks of me. And so I'm going to take you to Philippians. Philippians is a church in Greece. And the reason I say that is that because the apostle is going to say some things that does not endear him with the government. There are some people in certain areas of the so-called church world that is government worship, or state worship, or country worship. Their concept of God is involved in their state or their country, and it's not planted or grounded in heaven. And because of that, the church has lost its authority. The church has lost its ability to influence the country in regards to righteousness and justice. Rather than solving the problem, the church has become part of the problem. So we will start in the book of Philippians, the second chapter, the 14th verse. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. The apostle is going to talk about some things that's important. But first of all, he has to let the church know that it's time to stop murmuring, meaning complaining about things that displease us in the church. He said it's time to stop disputing, questioning based on what you think. Because there are some larger issues that we need to focus on. So he says to us, stop this petty debating. But I don't like this and I don't like that and I think it should be this way and I think it should be that way. Because you think the church should run a certain way, but you've never ran a church. So how could you know? How could you know? It's just like, I could say a Fortune 500 corporation should run a certain way, but I've never ran a Fortune 500 corporation, so I don't know the intricate details about the corporation and all of the auxiliary things that affect that. So I could not truthfully, honestly say that I know how it should be ran. So the apostle said to the saints, start working for Yahweh and stop doing this murmuring and complaining, that you may be blameless. That there will be nothing that people can say about you. You may be harmless, the sons of Yahweh, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And so the Apostle Shaul says to the saints, it is time for you to lay aside your petty stuff, because you're living in a crooked and perverse nation. And because you're living in a crooked and perverse nation, there are things that you should be focusing on that will make that nation better, or at least make it some of its people better. And as I said before, I'm sure that this did not endear him to the ruling class. For he had the temerity, the boldness, the rashness to call it what it was without sugarcoating it. He said, the nation you're in, you need to focus on the things of Yahweh, because you're living in a crooked and perverse nation, and you need to be focusing on how you can get out of here alive and how you can take others with you. We are living in a crooked and perverse nation. The word crooked is scolios in the Greek. And scolios is taken, the word scoliosis is taken from the word scolios. It means curved or bent. Have you ever seen some children who suffers from scoliosis? That means they have a curvature of the spine. Other words, it's not straight. So it is skewed. And basically the Greek is trying to say unjust. You're living in an unjust, perverse nation. The word for perverse in the Greek is diastrapo, simply meaning it's distorted and twisted. And if you don't think this is true, and you see, Shaul could have not went there, right? He could have said, you know, do everything without murmuring and debating, but he could have left this perverse nation out of it. But he needed to let them know that everything is not good and everything is not right. And if you don't believe that we are living in a perverse nation, let me remind you of something. The richest country in the world is this country. Yet 17 million children live in food insecure homes. And thousands of children go to bed hungry. Yet you hear the debate in Washington about cutting even the small degree of substances that the government offers for the children of this nation. There are people living in poverty in a nation where CEOs make millions of dollars, and yet they make slave labor. Even many of them make less than $8 an hour, or $8.50 an hour. And at $8.50 an hour, you're still only making $14,400 a year. If you pay $1,200 a month for rent, you have spent more than you made. And some of these people work two jobs. Still, they cannot make it. Income equality, where 3% of the people get all the income, and the rest of the 97% are drained with taxes. I know some people making $21,000 a year, and yet they're paying taxes. People die for lack of medical care in this country. But in Washington, they're talking about doing away with the Affordable Care Act. There's more people in prison in this country than any country in the whole world. There are 2.4 million people in prison in this country. China, with 1.4 billion people, have less people in prison. China and Russia together do not equal the amount of people that is in prison in this country, even if you combine China and Russia. Oh, the evil axis. They have less people in prison. Entire city poisoned with lead so that more tax cuts can be given to the rich. Racism, hatred is pervasive. Police killed up to this point 605 people to date. Christians, communities such as the conservative evangelicals have leaped headlong into the boiling, seething cauldron of racism and hate. We have no moral compass. Where do you go? We used to sing an old song, "Where do you go seeking for refuge for your soul?" So, Shaul goes on to say, we are living in a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. Because things are so bad, you should be a light. You should be the one that's holding up the standards of Yahweh's word. And he says, 16th verse, holding forth the word of life. You should be the light, and you should be holding forth as a mirror to this nation the word of God. And the word of God said, feed the hungry. Come on. The word of Yahweh says, house those that are homeless. Yes. The word of God said, clothe the naked. The word of God said, heal the sick. The word of God said, have compassion on those who are in prison. The word of God said, love one another. He said, you're the light. And Yeshua said in Netanyahu 6:23, he said, But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkened, how great is that darkness? If we, the church, join the darkness, how great will the darkness become when there is no light? And we all should remember that we are living in the end time. You know, all of this will be done away with, whether you like it or not. But there's things going to happen in this time. The devil is in the last throes, trying to survive. He knows his end is near. And his desire is to take as many people to hell with him as he can. And if we absorb the evil of the world and become part of the evil of the world, what happens? What happens to us?
Lose spirit.
How are we going to meet him? What are we going to say? What are we going to say to Yeshua in the last day? Look at 2 Tim 3. See, some of you are uncomfortable already, and I just got started. Look, I have all of my life operated in truth. No matter what, I've told the truth. I even tell the truth on myself. Yeshua said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, we should be free from all of this stuff that we have been hearing in the political arena. That should not be us joining in to all of that. Because here are those people. 3:1. This know also that in the last day perilous time shall come. Kalipos, simply meaning hard to deal with, hard to bear. So in the last days perilous time, also meaning dangerous, and it is dangerous time. But times that are hard to deal with, hard to bear. You cannot speak reason to this time. You cannot speak truth to this time. What they bring forth is hard to bear. They want to make you shut your mouth and agree with them. They want to make you, if you don't agree, just shut down and shut up. And we'll go on with what we are doing. We are living in hard to deal with time. What do you do in time like these? Saul says you just be a light and hold forth the word. For men shall be lovers of themselves. Yeshua said in the book of the Apocalypse, Revelation, he said, if you have an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I say to you today, as we go through this, if you have an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He said they would be Self-lovers, meaning narcissistic. They would have this excessive love for themselves. They know everything. They can do everything. Nobody else can do what they do. They are handsome. Their hands are big. Covetous. Philagogos. Money loving. All about money. They'll sell their mama for money. They will poison a whole city for money. Boasters, Alazan, imposters. That's what Alazan. You can't believe a thing they say. They parade around as one thing, but they are really something else. Boasters, imposters. Blasphemers. This blasphemers is not blaspheming God. This is not, this is called blasphemos. This means they speak evil of everybody. If you confront them, they speak evil of you. They say evil things without a cause. They're blasphemers. They'll blaspheme your mama. They'll blaspheme your daddy. They'll blaspheme you. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Other words, people are born with some affection in regards to family, in regards to friends, in regards to folks that they don't know, but they just have a sort of in a love for people. These people don't have no love for nobody. Amen. They're without natural affection. You don't have to be a Christian to have affection for your mama, or for your daddy, or for your sister. These have no affection for anybody. Truce breakers. Can't make no contract with them. They're gonna break it. False accusers. They think if they tear your name down, they'll get rid of you. Incontinent. They have no control over their actions. Fierce, savage. You say, well, Apostle, why are you calling people this? I'm not. The Apostle Shaul is calling them that. If you got an art with this, take it up with him. If you ever see it. So don't put this on me. See, y'all will call me to preach the word. And so I'm not going to back off from what the word said, no matter what it said. Yeah. false, incontinent, fierce, savage, despisers of those that are good, traitors. They fly the flag, but they'll sell their country down the drain. One thing always got me is when I see people that fly the flag. You know those will sell out their own country in a minute based upon their own hatred. Heady. You can't talk to them. Mm-mm. No, you can't talk. High-minded. Foo-foo. The Greeks said. Say they are foo-foo. They are wrapped in smoke. That's what the Greeks said. They are wrapped in smoke. They can't see nothing but themselves. And those that are with them. They are foo-foo. They are wrapped in smoke. They can't see their conceit. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Yahweh. Having, I want you to hear this, having a form of godliness. This form is the word morphosis. Morphosis is different from morphe. Morphe talks about whatever you see is the true nature that is there. Morphe. Morphosis, which this word is talking about an outward a semblance of something, but it does not represent what is truly inside. They have a form of God. They pretend like they know God. They pretend like they are Christian. But when you see what they do, you know they're not Christian. But if you buy into that, even you see what they do, you still say they are Christian. Yeshua said, by their fruit, you will know them. Not by what they say. You can tell me whatever you want to tell me who you are. But when I see your fruit, you don't have to tell me no more. I know who you are. And he says something. See, we are all trying to, you know, the church where should come together. No. Some of these so-called church people, I don't want nothing to do with. They can holler Jesus all they want to. I don't want nothing to do with them. Oh, you shouldn't say that. You should have love. Well, I do have love. But I ain't got nothing to do with them. Now watch, I'm going to show you what I mean. Having a form of godliness, Shaul said. From such, y'all got your Bible with you? From such do what? Turn away. You can act like you're a Christian or put on the front you're a Christian, but when I see your fruit, I'm not going to steal fellowship with you. I'm going to turn away from you. You think I want to embrace these so-called conservative evangelicals? When they're on the hate team? No. Come on. Turn away because I'm holding forth the word of life. Has everybody left or gone to? So everybody here is with me now. I think the ones who got a little bit upset is gone now. Now we can talk. Can we talk now? Now, these are the end time men. And if you have an ear to hear, you would have been able to identify them. But if you don't have a spiritual ear, you didn't hear. Now, there are other things that have nothing to do with men particularly, but condition of the end time. Look at, think Mark 24. I'm at Netanyahu 24. Now, I got some good news for you. This is the prelude to the good news. See, next week I'm going to give you the good news. But I got to give you the bad news to prepare you for the good news. I tell you what I'm talking about. This week, the Holy Spirit spoke to me a scripture. And he said to me, meditate on this scripture. Well, I know what the scripture is. I meditated on it for years. Read it for years. And so I said, Father, I know that scripture. This has been one of my favorite scriptures. I've read it many times. In fact, I would quote it, but sometimes I'll be a little bit off in the quotation. But he said, meditate. And I said, okay, Father, I'm going to be obedient. So I went to the scripture, and I read it again, and I found out in my quotation I left a little small stuff out, so I added all of that. And I began to meditate. And then I didn't see nothing. I said, Father, I'm meditating on it, but I don't see nothing here. He said, meditate. So I kept meditating. And then one day he said to me, now look at another scripture I did. And it all just lit up. So that's what you're going to get. You're going to get that bit part of it. It's all just lit up. About something that is so important to us as believers. See, you can read scripture as I did and still didn't see what he was saying. Okay, let's go to the fourth verse. That's the next verse. And Yeshua answered, and the fourth verse of the 24th chapter of Netanyahu. And Yeshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Mashiach, and shall deceive many. He said, in the end time, there's going to be a lot of folks coming saying they are worshipers of Mashiach. He said, but they're coming to deceive you. You should be there. See, if you have the Holy Ghost and you have the authentic Holy Ghost, I'm not talking about the manufactured Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost they said you had when you said you believed. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost that overpowered you and gave you a new language to speak and pray in. That's the Holy Ghost I'm talking about. I don't know nothing about the other Holy Ghost. I've never had it. But that Holy Ghost, if you have that Holy Ghost, you should never be deceived. Because he will let you know. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Does that sound kind of familiar. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. We just witnessed another one of these pestilence that's happening in South America and moving this way. The Zika virus. We have had the AIDS epidemic. We have had the swine flu epidemic. Now the Zika is moving. And we are told by the scientists that a pandemic, is that correct? Yes, it's coming. A virus that there is no cure for. Things are moving. Famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Apers. All these are the what? The beginning of sorrow. Then what should we? When we see all these things, there has to be a response from us. Is that right? He would not tell us these things if he wasn't asking us to respond to it. Look at Luke 21. And the 28th verse. Let's all read that together. And come on, read it with me. And when these things stop, let's go on to the end of the sentence. And when these things began to come to pass, right? When you see these things, you are to do what? Then you are to look up. And lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Rather than looking at these situations and joining into these situations, when you see these things, you ought to look up. See, this doesn't mean looking up at the sky, but it means look to Yahweh. Look to Yeshua. Begin to understand that you have a Savior. Yes. Ephraim 10. You're going to do what, people? Look up. Tell your neighbor. Look up. Yeah. We see these things coming. So what should we do? Look up. 19th verse of the day. I'm almost finished. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. See that? Boldness, the 19th verse. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Yeshua. Maybe some of you don't know what he's talking about. The tabernacle that was built by the children of Israel when they came out of Mizraim, or you call it Egypt, Yahweh had them build a tabernacle. And this tabernacle had two chambers. One was the holy place, and one was the holiest of holies. In the holiest of holies was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And the priest could only go in once a year. And he must have blood of the sacrifice. Listen to what he says. But brethren, having what? Therefore, boys. See, if you were back there in that time, or if you was in this time and did not have the blood of Yeshua, you couldn't enter into the holies of holies. The holies of holies is what God is. See, you can have folks praying, thinking they're in, but they're not in. Because you get in through the blood of Yeshua. You must have blood when you go in. So he has a play on those words. By a new and living way. You all are so fortunate. Up to the time of Yeshua, about, since the calendar changed, about 4 B.C. You know, he didn't come in 1 A.D. The calendar changed. It was about 4 B.C. Nobody had a right to enter in to Yahweh. And only in the Hebrew religion was the priest allowed to enter in, but he must have blood. But no other Hebrew could go in there. They had no right to go into Yahweh. They had no permission to go into Yahweh. And all of the prayers in the world would not get you there. He says it's a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. The thing that separated the holiest of holies from the holy place was a veil. See, that's why you need to know the Old Testament too. The veil separated the holiest of holies from the holy place. That is to say, his flesh. His body represents the veil. You say, yeah, I don't see that. Well, hold your hand here and go to Mark 15. Mark 15. Mark 15, 37. I'm going fast now. Only got a few minutes. Mark 15, 37. And this is talking about when Yeshua was on the cross. And Yeshua cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, meaning he died. And the veil, somebody say veil.
Veil.
And the veil in the temple was rent in twain, from the top. When Yeshua dropped his head and allowed his spirit to leave him, in the temple, the veil rent, tore in half. Representing the fact that now the way is open to God. The way that was closed, the way that nobody could get in, is now open. This is the last scripture I'm going to give you. Ephesians 2. Okay, and let's go to the 13. But now in Mashiach, Yeshua, ye who sometimes was far are made nigh, are near by the blood, I'd rather use in the blood of Mashiach. For he is our peace. He is our peace. He's the one that made peace with Yahweh for us. Yahweh was angry with the sinner every day, the scripture said. And if you were like me, I was a chief of sinners, and God was angry with me every day. But he became my peace. Hallelujah. Who has made both one. Who has made both one and has broken down the wall, the middle wall of partition between us. Just simply meaning he's brought all people together. When you receive Yeshua, you are leaving your race and you're entering into a new ethnic body. And that's the body of Yeshua. You got it? You're no more white, you're no more brown, you're no more black. You are the sons and daughters of Yahweh in Mashiach. He broke down. What do you see he did? He broke down the wall that separated us. And why are we, even church folk, so separate? This is us and this is them. And why? They done built up the wall again. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the Torah of commandments contained in ordinance to make in himself twain of the two, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto Yahweh in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now all of us have access. When we see what is happening in this day, we ought to all be running to God. We ought to all be holding the word of life. We ought to all understand that this world is not our home. But we're not going to join all these different parties talking about saving a nation that cannot be saved. But you say, but are you against the United States? No, because ain't no nation going to be saved. The only nation that means anything is the nation of the kingdom of Yahweh. The only one. I'm so glad that I'm a member of the family of Yahweh. That in times like these, I have somewhere to go. Hey, I can go to him. I can go to the shadow of his wing. I can enter in to the refuge. I refuse to join error. I refuse to join hate. I refuse to join racism. I refuse to join lying and thieving. Yes. I could be pretty wealthy, like most of the preachers that I came up with. I could have stole all the money. It was there for the taking. It was there for the taking. I could have took it all, like they did. And I could have bought me a big house up in Malibu. And I could be sitting out on my veranda today watching the wave roll in. But this world is not mine. Hallelujah. I believe that there is a kingdom that is offered by Yahweh. I believe that no matter what wealth you got, you can't get into that kingdom. You can only get in by the blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah. And though maybe I don't have all the riches of the world today, but I have one thing that they don't have. I have peace. I have peace running down like a river. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that someday I will be with him in glory. I will rejoice again as I rejoiced when I first came. I will rejoice again in the light of Yeshua. Bow your head. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to tell you that the time is winding. The end time is upon us. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Yeshua said to the rich man, "You have made provisions for living on this terra firma. But what provisions have you made for your soul?" So today, I want to give you an opportunity to make provisions for your soul. Yeshua said, "Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely." I'm offering that. If the Spirit and the Word touch you today, and you have said in your heart, "I want to be saved," I want you to raise your hand right now. Apostle, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I don't want to be left behind in this perverse place. I want to be saved. You might say, "I've already received Yeshua, but I do not have the Holy Spirit. I have not spoken in tongues as the Spirit of Yahweh give utterance. I want the Holy Spirit." You're here today, raise your hand. The last proposition. Say, "I'm a backslider. I got saved, but I went back. Now I want to reunite myself in Mashiach." You're here today. raise your hand. I want to pray. I want to come back home. I want to come back to the kingdom. You're here today. Father Yahweh, I come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua, HaMashiach. I thank you. I thank you that you have provided a way that we could escape the terrors of this world. We could have a home that is like none other, without violence, without hatred, without racism. A place where there's only peace, only joy. Father, for those who today who had an inkling to come, but they did not come, we can ask only that you would continually minister to them. Wonderful message of Yeshua. I thank you. In Yeshua, mighty name. Amen. Everybody raise your hand. How many of you still love the Lord? Let's give him a good hand clap. Hallelujah.